We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
I'm Chinee Ogwumike.
I'm Lisa Leslie, and we're very excited to tell you about our new podcast with Blue Wire, Front and Center.
Lisa and I are breaking down what's going on in our lives, in the world, and keeping it 100.
We're also learning from amazing guests as well, like Emmanuel Acho.
People that show love to me, I forever got their back.
Vivica A. Fox.
If the foundation isn't right, then the rest of it's going to go wrong from there.
And more.
Subscribe to Front and Center today.
Blue Wire.
NBA most valuable player, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis trailing the lob. Ooh. Oh! Giannis Antetokounmpo.
2 seconds. Middleton. Yes! Chris Middleton.
Back jumper. Got it!
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Hello and welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I am here, as always, with the illustrious, I might have used that one before, Rohan Kadi. We are here to talk about a lot of updates on the NBA 2020-21 season that obviously will impact the Bucks in a very big way, as they will every team. And then we're going to talk about some Bucks trade stuff and some Bucks news as well. We finally got a little bit of news this past weekend. But first, Rohan, how's it going?
I'm doing okay. I'm not sure if you've used illustrious or not, but nevertheless, I appreciate it. It's good.
I appreciate your appreciation. And we're also, Rohan's very worried because I said we're going to talk about Monte Ellis, but I didn't explain how. We'll get to that.
Yeah, I'm currently on the edge of my seat. I'm very scared.
You're going to be there. That's the second half of the pod thing. Also, we're going to talk about mixed drinks. That's going to be our food topic of the week. So that'll be on the back half as well. A loaded pod this week. I'm super excited, though. Let's just get right into it.
Yes.
So we got news. We got news that honestly, like, I thought this was ludicrous when it was first proposed, but I am starting to think this is going to be actually what happens now. So I think for a while we thought the next season could start as late as March because the NBA was trying to wait out this whole COVID thing, wearing your masks, people. But obviously it not the NBA. I think now realizes like, it's going to be a lot more impactful for a longer time than it had previously thought. Things are not exactly going well right now at the nation or, of course, in Wisconsin. Please wear a mask. So now the league kind of changed its mind. So for a while we heard like around Martin Luther King Jr. Day in January would be the start of the league, which I was like, okay, I'm not that long of a wait. I have no problem with that. That sounds like a good turnaround.
It seemed reasonable.
I thought it was a pretty good compromise between like not wanting to rush it too much, but also like you can start it then, maybe have a shorter season, maybe do more regional travel, a more regional schedule, and get back on track for the typical schedule, which I don't know if we've debated this on here. I like the way the NBA league calendar is in a normal year. I do not want a December to August. I like having the second half of my summer mostly off. I mean, there's still off-season stuff, but I don't want games all summer. I am opposed to it. I like the way it works now. So do players and coaches and league people mostly. Plus, there's less conflict with football, which is good. I mean, we all heard the ratings horror stories I don't care about. But where do you come in on moving the schedule or not?
I mean, I think getting back to like almost a sense of normalcy, like you said, is good. Like the league schedule as it works, it works pretty well. You get you don't really conflict with a lot of other sports. It's just NBA has its time, and then when sports have like really died down, like over the summer, or it's just baseball, you can capitalize on headlines in terms of like draft, free agency, stuff like that. I think it works really well. So moving it up as soon as they're trying to move it up is, I think it's a good idea for the league. I'm just trying to figure out how practical it's going
to
be.
Yeah, so let's get to that now. And like I mentioned, actually, let's explain it first. So now the new date is December 22nd is what's being thrown around. And I think there's a bunch of people reported on this, the usual Woj, Shams. I think now Mark Stein weighed in his newsletter today. This comes from the NBA Board of Governors, a.k.a. like the owners and the league office. This is very much what they want to do. So the season would start, regular season games start December 22nd. So I assume everybody playing on Christmas would get like one tune-up game before Christmas. I know Christmas is the big deal here. The draft would still happen as it's been planned, November 18th.
The only thing that's been set in stone so far.
Yes, I was going to say, that's the one that for a while now, after it got pushed back a few times, that's the one where it's like, we're going to build around that. Like, we have that firmly set. We cannot push it back anymore. So the draft will be November 18th. I've heard talk free agency would either be like 2 days after the draft or even potentially reversing it and doing free agency first. I don't know.
I think Mark Stein said today that the 20th or the 21st is when they're thinking about starting. That's what teams have been told.
So right
two
after
to three
the
days
draft.
After.
That's
so
insane.
So like three weeks to a month from now.
Yeah, pretty much. So there was like mention of it flipping it this year. I don't think there's even going to be time for that, honestly.
There's
maybe
not.
Probably not. I mean, we talked about this before the pod. There are some rumors or reports that like deals are being verbally agreed to now. I think in theory, maybe, but until the numbers are what we need. We need the salary cap. We'll get to the salary cap stuff in a second, but you kind of broached the topic already. This seems a little reckless of a quick turnaround from the end of the bubble, basically, to playing regular season. It was 3 weeks ago only?
I think two.
Oh my God. That's insane. 2020, just give us all a break,
was
please.
Was it not 2 weeks ago?
It might have been.
I'm going to look it up.
NBA Finals Game 6. But whenever it was, it was 10-11, so it was 16 days ago.
Yeah.
2 weeks and 2 days ago. So 16 days as we record, 17 days as you are listening to this, the NBA finished. And then, yeah, just several weeks from now, how many weeks did you say? Like eight? No, more than that till the season. Less than 2 months, though, until the season starts.
It's around 8 to 9 weeks.
Yeah. So what is that, like 2.5 months, basically, from the finals we'd be to the next season?
Yeah, essentially.
Less, maybe? Less, I think?
Around there. 2.5, 2 months-ish.
2 months and 11 days or whatever. So that's a very quick turnaround. And honestly, this has been divided, the reaction to the timetable in itself. I heard on the Low Post with Bobby Marks, that was an interesting listen, that no front office personnel is at all excited about that. Like, they think it's pretty ridiculous. The owners want it. Oh, I should mention, there's a huge financial stake. That's
why
they
said around $500 million between starting at the December 22nd date and later, which that figured, I'm not really sure how that's calculated or anything.
I've got to imagine Christmas is a big part of it. I know the TV partners.
Can Christmas be that big, though?
I mean, there's no bigger NBA game broadcast before, probably past the first round of the playoffs in a normal year.
Yeah.
I mean, it is the marquee night.
Yeah, the NBA, they have Christmas and they have Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Well, yeah, which not enough people know about. I think the NBA could do a better job of advertising that there's also a slate that day, but I digress. But Christmas is the big one. I mean, Christmas is the crazy ratings one. They always compare Europe. The ratings fascination. I'm just so sick of it. But regardless, no one cares what I think. Well, I guess if you're listening, you might. But I'm tired of hearing about ratings. Ratings are down all over. But so
across
there's
sports.
Every sport, everything really, like cable TV too, like the shows. Whatever shows are still on, probably not very many good ones. RIP Game of Thrones just went down. I've brought this up multiple times.
This Is Us is apparently good.
Yeah, I've heard that. It seems very emotional.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'm up to it this year.
Oh, that's not my type of show.
Yeah, cool guy Rohan.
Like I don't know how I would handle it.
That's fair. Yeah, same here. Yeah. Okay. No more peak TV talk. We have so many things to talk about, but the financial implication, however that the math works out, I will just assume those numbers are fairly accurate. Just look, waves hands at the bubble. The league will do what it takes to remain financially viable. And I think now, if that's really how the numbers work, I think that's what we're going to see happen, which on the one hand, like super exciting to have basketball back a month sooner. Lord knows with everything going on that, you know, the joy of taking in a basketball game at night can really, really help bring the old day together. I do think it's a little bit tight of a turnaround, and I know some players have said this, like Jared Dudley. Danny Green said LeBron might take the first month off.
Didn't Jared Dudley say that he's in favor of it, though?
Probably. Jared Dudley loves to play both sides. I get the money, but LeBron is going to take a month off. It's like a very Jared Dudley.
I think that's exactly what he said.
I'm sure it is. Jared Dudley is very ready to be hired by anybody the second his career. Like, Jared Dudley is not going to offend you unless you're Carmelo. But otherwise, Jared Dudley is not taking shots. I see where the players are coming from, though, is where I've been ambling toward this whole time. Like, that is an extremely fast turnaround, especially for the teams. The difficult thing, right, is the non-bubble teams, they're probably itching to play. I mean, they've been doing nothing. The bubble teams, though, especially because we saw so many, like, injuries in the bubble, that's tough.
Yeah, it is. I think, like, the counterpoint to that is just, like, how long was the bubble? 2 months? 3 months?
Yeah, I think two.
2 months? So that... Like, this is an off season for a 2 month season.
Yeah, I mean, it's fair.
I'm not saying I necessarily agree with that, but I'm saying that's where the logic would come from, I think, because you had like a typical off season, quote unquote, between like the shutdown and the restart. And now this is a scaled off season for what amounted to a 2 month season. And that was only for like half the teams.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. I don't think it's untenable. The earlier start, like, I don't think it's gonna totally ruin the season.
You might see the month off thing, like, especially with like Miami and the Lakers.
Yeah, I don't think you'll see like a solid month straight of DMPs.
No, you'll see like one game every like week.
Yeah,
a couple days.
And honestly, like, fine.
If that's what it takes, that's okay. And I'm sure the league's okay with that. I'm sure their respective teams are okay with that. Just prioritizing player health while also getting the season starting, I think that's a happy medium.
Yeah,
just like don't penalize players and teams for having DNP rests anymore.
I was just gonna say, you're gonna have to not enforce the load management fine rules or whatever this season. Like, let everyone manage their loads indiscriminately. There should be load managing left and right.
Yes,
but no, I think the one good thing about all of this for the NBA is, I think it's very obvious that both sides, the players and the owners, have come to the realization that, like, they just need to figure out how to play no matter what in any circumstances. I think there were times in the NBA where, I mean, there was no pandemic and no anything else and no weird schedules and no everything gets thrown off, and they were like unable to come to any agreement on the CBA and, you know, had these terrible lockouts and work stoppages and things got really ugly. I do think it's positive. Shout out David Stern, baby.
I mean, RIP. I forgot about that.
And also that, yeah. Both. Shout out and RIP. Respectfully.
Yes, respectfully, my bad.
So respectfully. But no, it's good to see the two sides, like, they come together and figure out how to play every time. And I think this is not going to be an exception. I think the players, more than ever, are very cognizant of, like, and I think it helps that, I mean, those past things got the players to their more equal revenue split, which makes this a lot easier to stomach, I think, for them. But it's
both
the players,
on an equal,
like,
playing field.
Yeah. Yeah. No, totally. And, like, everyone realizes, like, both sides lose the most if there's no game. So both sides want games. So we're going to get games.
Like, the players want their money too.
Yeah, definitely. Especially now. And the owners do too. Some of the owners are, like, barely getting by. So, like, Tillman Fertitta was probably like, let's start today. I'll call James. James will call the other guys. Let's get going. We don't
can
need
we
coach.
Get like a Can we get like a rec league going? We'll fly the ESPN crews down there.
He's going to have Houston playing in the crappy arenas that Sterling used for practice for, like, their games.
Oh, my God.
He's going to be calling every gym in the area.
Is the Cousins Center still open? Or did Giannis buy it?
I thought they demolished it.
Did they?
Maybe I'm wrong about that. He wanted to buy it, but the Bucks were like, please don't. Please use your money better.
Oh, man. Yeah, yeah. Tillman Fertitta's lining up.
Oh, yeah. He's out there coaching. Go ahead.
Is there any other owner in that situation, or is it just him? That's most known.
There's probably others. I think there's one. Oh, the Pacers owner, I think, is movie theaters.
Oh, yes.
So that's been tough. Am I completely wrong on that?
Maybe.
It was some industry that he's heavy in that is, like, really impacting or really negatively impacted right now. But I don't remember.
No, Herb Simon is real estate.
Real estate. Oh, okay. Oh, shopping malls, though.
Oh, yes.
That's what it is. Yep. Shopping malls. So not movie theaters, shopping malls. But he's still as of 2018, worth $3.2 billion. So probably surviving.
Yeah, I think he's okay.
Yeah, he'll make it through. Poor him, though.
Poor kids.
Yeah, I saw that too on the Wikipedia. Just no comment. Let's get to the cap.
Okay.
Do you have any more thoughts on the early start?
I think it's feasible, but they have to get stuff in motion right now.
Yeah, like,
if you're doing stuff like this quick of a turnaround, you have to have things set in place by the end of this week.
Exactly. Yeah, this week we need the cap and the luxury tax,
and your plan for the off season as soon as possible. Otherwise, it's not going to work.
Like,
exactly.
We need
you need
an
your
idea.
Plan for everything in the next, like, 3 days.
Yeah, which, no pressure, but.
Well, if they are proposing that date, I'm sure they have something in hope they have something planned.
Yeah, they're really kind of going on the fly right now, but it's not like they didn't start today. Like, they've been working on this for a few days now. We need to find out, like, what the next season's going to look like schedule-wise, and I think probably wait to dive in on
where
that.
Where are the Raptors playing?
Yeah, where are the Raptors playing is a pretty big one, too. That's been so fun to watch.
They can't play in Canada.
Canada's, like, not taking us in right now. I totally get it. Support the decision. I would do the same. It's been so fun to watch Raptors Twitter. Like, very clearly very hurt that they have to. And I get it. I would be too. But, like, they've been so, like, snotty about all the proposed places. Like, you're looking for a temporary. Like, be generous. Don't knock Kansas City. You need Kansas City right now, yeah. Raptors Twitter.
Yeah, I get the Louisville thing. But, like, come on. Kansas City should be fine.
Louisville really wants a team. You know what? Give Louisville a practice shot. Give
Louisville
a chance.
Has some issues.
Fair. Fair.
I'll say that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't disagree. The cap. So that's the other big thing I want to talk about NBA-wise. What the cap is going to do, of course, goes without saying, has massive implications for the Bucks. Luckily, everything that I've seen from reputable sources, I think it's probably going to end up around the same amount. I know you've been reading similar stuff. It's not great. Like, it's not optimal. You hope it goes pretty much up every year. And I guess I think by staying at the same around the level they expected for this year, although I've seen some people say what it was this last year, but I don't think it's going to drop. And that would be the disaster scenario for the Bucks. And for, like, it would be worse on, like, the Warriors and the Rockets and Philly and some other teams.
It wouldn't drop by, I'll say this. It wouldn't drop by a significant amount.
No. I think it'll at least hang around where it is now.
Yes. I'd say it'll remain within, like, a million, 2 million.
So the number is 109 million, right?
I believe I think.
That's the number I've seen.
Yes.
So here's the thing. The Bucks can work with that number. It's not great. So between Chris Middleton, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Brook Lopez, Eric Bledsoe, George Hill, and Dante DiVincenzo, Bucks are already on the hook for $102.5 million, and that does not include DJ Wilson, Robin Lopez's player option, Ersan Ilyasova's non-guaranteed year, whatever happens with Wes Matthews, and of course Tanasis, who you can pretty much pencil in there as another $1.7 million. So really, between the six guys I mentioned earlier and Tanasis, they're at about $1.4, $1.4.5 million. Cap at $1.9, so that's not the luxury tax, Mark. We don't know what the luxury tax mark is going to be, which is important, very important for a lot of reasons for these Milwaukee Bucks. We don't know that yet. That's almost the more important number, but Bucks are for sure going to be over the cap unless it's dramatically higher than we think. The tax is different though, so it'll be really interesting to see what that number is and how the Bucks act when they find out in response to that.
Yeah, it's... I don't know what was the current cap. Was it, the luxury tax? Was it like 134?
It was 30 something, I thought.
Yes, I believe it was like 34. I'm just saying that off the top of my head, but that sounds right. So I'd imagine if they're keeping the salary cap the same, they've got to be keeping the luxury tax the same, right?
So this season, I believe it was $132.6 million. Okay. It was projected to be around $139 million for this next season. So I agree with you. I think if the cap remains, they would probably keep that luxury tax, but they could push the tax to try and help out teams a little bit. It's kind of everything I feel like is in play right now.
Yeah. I can't see a world in which they keep the salary cap the same, but then just completely destroy the luxury tax threshold.
Yeah, because I don't really know what that accomplishes. I mean, there's some cap implications.
It would benefit the league in terms of actual revenue sharing, because isn't that what luxury tax payments go for?
Yeah, so like the teams who don't pay tax get paid, basically.
Yes.
So the Hawks are like, please don't.
Yeah.
The Pistons are like, you don't have to. Don't move it at all. We have our numbers. We're fine.
Yeah. So if they actually cut it, that would have more teams paying the tax, which I don't know what that really gets into, but I don't know. It's just, I can't really see them changing it.
Yeah, I would imagine it ends up in around somewhere between 132 and 139. Maybe closer to 132.
Maybe
it might be 130. Yeah. So here's why that really matters for the Bucks. And I know people are probably like rolling their eyes right now and like, well, duh. You know, there's questions about ownership's willingness to spend. They had to come out and affirm they would spend with a reigning in his prime two-time MVP, which you probably shouldn't have to say it. It probably should just be assumed.
Do it. That's good.
Yeah. Nike, baby. Giannis's main sponsor. But so that's the
disrespect
obvious.
To TCL.
I'm so sorry. And the Greek Airlines.
Excuse me. That video was amazing.
It really was. I love Giannis. But so that's one reason. I mean, it's like obviously it costs the owners more the more they spend over the tax. But there's an actual strategic reason to it as well. So the MLE that always gets talked about, the mid-level exception, let's put on our cap expert hats for a second. That is a contract you can give if you are over the cap, and there's actually one if you're under the cap too that's somewhat less useful, but we're going to ignore that. The Bucks are going to be over the cap no matter what, as previously decided. So that's the mid-level exception. There's also the taxpayer's mid-level exception. That is much smaller. I think the MLE is 9 point something, while the taxpayer MLE is like 5 point something. And again, I would look it up, but we won't know until we know the numbers. But suffice it to say, like half the size. And you can only use the taxpayer MLE if you're going to be above the luxury tax apron, which is yet another number a little bit above the luxury tax. So if the Bucks, assuming they signed someone to an MLE, they would like to end in the sweet spot between probably a tax-paying team, but under the apron to ensure that they can use that bigger MLE and thus add a much better player, a more impactful player. I mean, there's like, let's use Gallinari as an example. He's someone, I mean, he basically posted to his Twitter, like, I'm out of OKC. who am I going to play for? Which is amazing.
Like he had a Photoshop jersey of a question mark for a gray jersey. It's just like, where am I? What's my next chapter or something to that extent.
Do you know what Bill Simmons always says about Danilo Gallinari?
What does he say? That he's not, I don't know.
So, because he's Italian. This is Bill Simmons' impression of like what Italian people are like. I'm going to have to bust out the bleep button. Simmons is always like, he's got a little, you know, he's got a little fuck you in it. I'm like, what? I guess that's Bill Simmons' interpretation. And he always prefaces it, I can say this because I'm Italian. It's like, okay, Bill. That's sure, I guess that's sure. Italian people in the world, yeah, of Bill
he's
Simmons.
He's also said that about Giannis in the past, so.
Yeah, that's just so,
Giannis is not Italian.
No, I don't think he is. But if he was, it might help with Gallo. But Gallo is an example. I think he might be willing to sign with a contender for the full MLE, which is still like a pay cut. Like Danilo Gallinari is like definitely a double digits millions kind of player.
I think he also said that he prioritizes winning over money.
He did. But I think to an extent, I don't think he's going to take Vetmin.
Oh, of course not.
Like there will be contenders, probably the Lakers, who can offer him the full MLE. If the Bucks end up not being able to use it because they're too close to the apron, then suddenly you can only offer him like $5 million that way. I find it hard to believe you get, unless we do like one of the sign and trades we talked about with the uncontested boys. Go listen to that OKC Thunder pod, by the way. We covered so many trades on that pod. But like signing him outright, I don't think it's going to work if you don't have the full MLE. I think actually though, the questionable spending veracity of the Bucks owners might actually play into the hands of good basketball here. Because if you use the MLE, you cannot for any reason go above the apron. So basically, like they sign someone with the MLE, and then anything else, like they have justifiable CBA reasons to be like, nope, we got to save some dollars here. Can't go above the apron. We hate that. Oh, we're so mad. We can't spend anymore.
That makes me so upset.
I think that's the obvious play for the Bucks.
That's so okay.
Like day one. Sign someone to the MLE. Just use the MLE. Sorry, guys.
If they did that, like, I'll help you pack your bags, Giannis.
Oh, well, no, not necessarily. It could be. I think it's the right move, too. I think using the MLE is better than not using it to spend more overall. But
okay, not day one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, okay, yes. If the first, second of free agents, then just like whoever is signed to the MLE, that would be bad. I agree with
you.
Yes,
no, but if you can actually do it in a way, like after exhausting your maneuverability in terms of like trade, sign and trade, stuff like that, then sure.
And I will say, and I used questionable on purpose. I'm not out on Bucks ownership.
Are you?
Here's a positive conspiracy theorist.
Oh, okay.
Positive energy conspiracy
theories.
I like
positive energy. Let's get more positive energy.
The Chris Paul thing that we railed against, and I somewhat rightfully so. What if this was in mind the whole time?
What do you mean?
Like prioritizing staying under the apron to use the MLE and retain that flexibility. And that's the reason that financially Chris Paul doesn't make sense, because you're always gaining a lot of team salary in trading for Chris Paul. Like if you gain $10 million in a Chris Paul trade and then do some other business, it's going to be really probably pretty difficult to stay under the apron unless you make some other really cost-saving moves.
Okay.
So acquire a cheaper player and use the MLE versus get Chris Paul and get the smaller MLE. And I haven't ran the exact numbers. Maybe you could do both. But most Chris Paul trades, they take back quite a bit of salary. In addition to being expensive, does get you closer to that apron.
Yeah, but you also get Chris Paul.
True. Totally true. Absolutely true. I have said before, you might be 1 year too late to get Chris Paul.
That's fair. But it's like if you get Chris Paul plus having at least some flexibility with the taxpayer mid-level, maybe you get like a vet who's chasing the ring like David West did with the Warriors.
One more, you can also split up the full MLE and basically get two players that good.
Yeah.
There's benefits. Listen, I'm not, am I sourcing this?
You can get two, two of the vet chasing mins or vet, ring chasing vets. Wow. Or you can get Chris Paul in one of them.
Yes. Basically.
Listen, I like the latter.
I'm just trying to bring some positivity. And you can still trade for somebody else who just, like, you don't take on salary in the trade.
So, oh, yeah,
like,
Zach LaVine.
Zach LaVine's good. Dennis Schroeder, maybe Gallo. And then you sign somebody else. Who knows? But, yeah, I don't know. This is not sourced. I didn't talk to anybody. And do I even necessarily, like, full-throatedly believe that? No. But is it possible? Yeah, it is. It is possible. It's possible there were more things going on than we thought. Everyone will be shocked to learn the podcasters yelling toward their computers might not have had the full scope at the time. I know. Shocking news.
I wouldn't believe it.
That's fair. I don't really believe it either. I took a break from being negative for just a second. Sports took a break. Rohan, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever, and Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions do apply. Offer valid through December 31st. Speaking of weights, the wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on the season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. And don't forget to use that promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Do we have any other cap stuff to talk about?
Nah, I think we can take our cap hats off for right now.
Let's take the cap hat. The TLDR, too long, didn't... I guess in a pod it would be Wait, oh my God.
TLDL.
Yeah, too long, didn't listen. Cap's probably going to stay relatively the same. I don't think there's going to be this big drop that we've seen some people talk. I just, like, the league wouldn't function. So teams will figure it out. It's kind of like the schedule. I think teams will figure it out. I don't think it's going to be like a disaster. I think they're going to avoid disaster.
Yes.
So that's to sum it up. And we'll see how that impacts the Bucks. It'll be super interesting, of course. But speaking of the Bucks, when's the last time we got honest to goodness, like, real Bucks news? Like, not a rumor, but actual news. Like, probably not since the playoffs ended, right?
Yeah. I think that's it. I think Marvin Williams retiring was the last
time. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. That right after the loss, that came in.
We found that out mid-pod.
I think you told me, and I just deflated. Oh,
yeah. Sad day. It was mid-season wrap-up. That was just a bad time.
Yeah. So Josh Oppenheimer's back.
Yeah, when did
the harsh transition?
When did this news drop? Like a couple days.
Saturday morning-ish.
Just random.
I'm sitting there sipping my morning coffee, and I get a Woj bomb on my phone. The Bucks are hiring Josh Oppenheimer, formerly from 2013 to 2017. And I was like,
Yeah, I
what?
Think I was you know, safely going to a pumpkin patch.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And I was just like, what's going on here?
So at first I was outraged because friend of the pod, I will say, for sure not a listener, but friend of the pod, Matt Velasquez, tweeted that he was known as Giannis's shot doctor early in his career. And myself and some other people were panicking, like, oh no, anyone who was Giannis's shot doctor should be like banned from the league.
Just like get him out.
Just no way. Matt Velasquez was kind enough to correct me in a very nice way. I'm not definitely not taking a shot at Matt, who is tremendous.
He's
tremendous.
Great. He's great.
If you don't follow Matt, follow Matt. But basically, after Jason Kidd came in, the Kidd regime, and he hung up his banners and did all terrible things, Sean Sweeney ended up working with him more. And it seemed like Matt thought, like, just Kidd's edict to not shoot was probably a lot more damaging / impactful than any actual change to his mechanics. But anyway, so as soon as Kidd got in there, though, it seems
like Oppenheimer was there under Larry Drew as well.
Yes, yeah. Oppenheimer was there in Giannis's rookie year, and that was when he was really his shot doctor, it seems like. And then
his
Kidd
shot
retained
actually
him.
Looked good.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was going to say. So, Giannis, do you have the numbers?
I do not. I can find them.
Yeah, they were good, though. they were good. I don't have them in front of me either. Super prepared. But basically, Sean Sweeney takes over more of the shot doctoring work, I guess. And again, there wasn't much of a shot to doctor because Jason Kidd said don't shoot any threes for 1.5 years. So probably even more than Sweeney, Kidd still to blame the most for everything bad that's ever happened on planet Earth. But Oppenheimer, it sounds like, was more of a positive influence on Giannis than a negative. And Giannis loves him, of course. Giannis loves everyone. But yeah, it sounds like he was actually beneficial to Giannis' shot, which I guess it couldn't hurt.
Yeah, so Giannis' rookie year shot 34.7% from distance.
It's still his career high, right?
I believe so, yes. So, and then in the 14-15 season, after Jason Kidd took over, it dipped to 15.9%.
Wasn't it on like less than one attempt
per
game?
It was on half an attempt per game.
Jason Kidd,
man. And his rookie season, he shot 1.5 per game.
And less minutes.
Yeah, he shot 1.5 per game in 24.6 minutes his rookie year. And in 14-15, in 31.4 minutes per game, shot half a three-pointer a game.
Jason Kidd, man. Jason Kidd. But yeah, Oppenheimer seems fun.
He seems fine. It's just, it's really curious why. That's well, what my question is. My thinking here is that it's just, it's got to be a Giannis decision, right?
Yeah, which maybe is actually good.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I've written down here in my notes. It's good because it shows they'll listen to him and that he's willing to say what he wants.
But also, like, 100% chance Bud's not fired before the season now, right? Like, this order of operations wouldn't make sense.
Why do you say that?
Well, I mean, I don't think you'd bring in a side assistant coach and then oust, or maybe I'm wrong, but it seems to me like,
I didn't think about this angle, just to be clear.
If Giannis wanted like a new coaching staff, why would bringing in Oppenheimer as an assistant be the first move, right? Like, wouldn't
That's
it
fair.
Be bring in somebody and then Giannis is like, hey, by the way, like, this guy I want in there. I mean, unless maybe it's easier to have the guy in there, but I won't say 100%, but I think it's another piece of evidence that says we probably will have Coach Bud for the next season.
Yeah, I think I started to accept that a little bit, considering
I'm still not happy with it, but I've accepted it.
Oh, yeah, I'm not happy with it either, but I think I'm accepting it. I think it's good because it's like, oh, Giannis said something. Oh, they'll do that. See, the counter to this is that, okay, if you're the Bucks ownership, it's like, okay, Giannis, you've asked us a lot. We can't do everything, but we can bring back Oppenheimer.
Yeah, if this was like a compromise, that seems like a pretty, if he was asking for anything significant and it was bringing in an assistant coach, pretty terrible compromise that Giannis got.
I'm hoping it's not that.
I highly doubt it, man. Giannis has so much leverage right now.
He does.
All the leverage in the world. I mean, you have to imagine, pretty much whatever Giannis wants, you're going to do. If the carrot on the stick for the Bucks org is he puts pen to paper on the Supermax.
Even if he's undecided about it, you still have to do everything he says.
I think so too. But I mean, imagine like what more powerful motivator in like league history.
He could get them to like sell parts of the real estate development.
Honestly. He could get them to have Costas be coach.
Honestly, yeah.
NBA champion. Costas might get the full mid level from the Bucks.
You know what?
Who knows?
Yeah, they might.
Championship DNA finally on the team.
All three on the same team? Well, that are currently in the NBA.
Yeah. Alex on the way.
Yeah, Alex on the way. He's still playing at Dominican. Or not, so no, he's not playing at Dominican.
He's overseas.
Sorry, yes, he's overseas. Yes, he finished up at Dominican and now he's overseas.
So actually, I wonder, is this going to be the first NBA season coming up that he's draft eligible or no? No,
like
probably
this,
not, right?
Is he, like, he's not eligible for this draft.
Right, okay, so he could not sign until after the next draft.
Correct, because he hasn't completed one post-high school year.
They can't fudge him in because of the delayed draft, can they?
I doubt
probably
it.
Not. Probably not. Like reclassify or whatever. Probably not. Probably
I
not
do not
time.
Think so, because otherwise it would basically be a straight high school to NBA.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the only reason they were able to draft like Thon is because he did like a post-grad year at a high school, technically.
So weird the way some of these things work.
It was in Canada, so they just fudged some things, I guess.
Yeah, it's the Thon Maker story, reportedly. Anyway,
allegedly.
What were we even? Oh, Oppenheimer. Yeah, I think it's fine. I don't honestly.
Sure.
I think we covered it. If Giannis is now having his voice, and we got reporting on that too, I think that is a good thing. I think there's inherently a little bit of worry about stars taking over teams, and like people will breathlessly point at LeBron and clutch and whatever, which I think is mostly overblown anyway.
Probably other motives behind that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely some other motives behind that. But I have no issue with that.
No, not at all. Giannis, like you can do whatever you want, man.
He deserves to have some say. He's that integral of a player.
No, of 100%. He's a back-to-back MVP. You can do whatever he wants.
So I think this is actually a nice transition into our next thing, which I wanted to close. Well, we have other stuff too, but with some trade stuff. If Giannis is kind of having more of a say in moves, maybe that's good for one particular trade target who famously Instagram lived with him. I informed you of this in the last pod. Bogdan Bogdanovic, who that's one where like we've seen this in the league over the past few years. Like these friendships that players have on various international teams or through, you know, their agencies or shoe companies or whatever it is, can often lead to player movement down the line. I mean,
Nick
like people
Kalathis in a Bucks uniform inbound.
Did you say Nick Kalathis?
Yes.
Take a timeout. Take a timeout.
Timeout with
Giannis. Time. Rohan, I called you Giannis. What a compliment. but Bogdan Bogdanovic, maybe we'll end up a Buck. Who knows? I do think this makes it like 2% more likely.
I think it does too. Because you get these French, like who are Giannis's like NBA quote unquote friends that we know of? We've got Bogdanovic, we've got Porzingis.
A lot of Antetokounmpos.
Yes, all of them.
Probably Bam, because they do have the same agency, although it's like unconfirmed.
I think they do have a little bit of a relationship.
I think they do too. I think like I don't know if it's as much as of a relationship. There's certainly a sense of unity between the three players of the what?
Octagon.
Well, that and the three players of African descent who were on the All-Star team.
Oh, yes. So him, Embiid, and Siakam?
Yes. And I don't think Siakam is going to be available for a very long time. Embiid, maybe. Not this year. I wouldn't think he'd be available
who knows?
Any capacity. But yeah, I think most of those guys we've mentioned, I don't think we see them becoming a Buck this offseason.
No.
Except for Bogdan.
Yeah. I mean,
so,
yeah. Realistically,
what are your thoughts on Bogdan?
I think he's good. I think he would be good in Milwaukee. It's just a matter of financials. And if it's less than like 19, 18 a year, sure.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Because the only way
I think
it's possible is a sign and trade, so...
Yeah, he has to want to be a Buck, which it seems like he would have a reason to do so.
Yeah.
I'm trying to look up right now. Who is Bogdan Bogdanovich's agent?
I don't know. If it's Alex Tsiratsis, then you're onto something here.
No, he's actually a Wasserman guy.
Is he? Okay.
Yeah, he's got two Wasserman agents, it looks like. Oh, wow, the agent who reps him with Wasserman, Alexander Raskovic reps a lot of guys from that particular region. Like, just the, so many names
Eastern
ending
European.
In the itch. Paku. I think Paku is on
Ooh.
Here.
Ooh. Okay. He's a draft target, potentially, for Milwaukee.
Yeah, he is. But Lucas Smanich on the Spurs.
Okay.
I'm going to butcher this. Smilagic?
Smilagic, I think.
Thank you. On the Warriors.
He's not good.
Yeah, he's tall. Most of these guys are not NBA players. Most of them... There's a guy draft eligible in 2022 playing, it looks like, in Russia right now. But I think, yeah, he only reps like 4 to 12, and this is only one of his agents, so who knows what how it actually works. But yeah, he does not share. I wonder where this friendship comes from. I don't know how much reporting we have on this, but it's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. Like, I don't know. How do most friendships form? It's kind of an existential question, I guess. Maybe it's like a European basketball thing.
It could be. Yeah, especially like a Euro-basket. I wonder if he ever played with Tanasis.
Did he play? Did Bogdan play overseas a lot?
I thought he played overseas before coming.
Did he? Or was that Bojan?
He played with Fenerbahce.
Oh, did he? Okay, so yeah. He might have played with Tanasis.
Oh, wait. I love when we do live research. I'm Googling it now. Either way, though, I mean, there's some sort of relationship, and I do think
he's
like...
He's 28?
Yeah, did you think he was younger?
Yes.
Oh, wow. No, yeah, he's not that... Oh, wait, that's a soccer. Yeah, no, he came over late. He played for a few seasons in Europe. But, like I said, you could certainly do a lot worse than Bogdan Bogdanovic as your guy coming over. And it's nice to see, like, Giannis branch out and have these friendships because, like it or not, this is how you are getting players now. Like, this is, like, the easiest way to form a really good team is to... Like, you utilize these relationships. Yeah.
It does not appear that Bogdan played with Tanasis.
No. Did Tanasis probably never played at Fenerbahce?
No, he did not.
Okay, yeah.
They're a good club.
Very good club. I wasn't going to do that to poor Tanasis. But, you know, they were playing in Europe at the same time, though. It's certainly possible that their paths crossed there. I did think it was interesting that...
Yeah, I wonder.
Actually, it could have been at... World Cup events too.
Yes, possibly.
I mean, that's
Euro
probably
basket.
The most likely. Yeah, probably both guys. But interesting. But yeah, that's one guy. We talked about him a lot. One guy I wanted to talk about, and I'll finally get to.
Oh,
the Monta
I forgot.
Ellis thing.
Okay.
It's not Monta Ellis.
Okay, thank you.
It's JJ Redick.
Oh.
So I quote tweeted today. Cream City Central shared. I'm citing so many things, but Bleacher Report did an article, Impact Trades NBA Contenders Can Make Now. And I saw a Bucks fan sounding off negatively about this tweet, and I was stunned. Have you seen the tweet, the trade?
I think so.
This is the proposed trade. JJ Redick, who I will remind you quickly, 15 points per game, 45% from the field, 45% from three last season. Still one of the best three-point shooters in the league. Tremendous professional, takes really good care of his body, yada, yada, yada. The Bucks receive JJ Redick. The Pelicans receive DJ Wilson, Ersan Ilyasova, and the 24th pick in the draft. So the Bucks, the Pacers first, basically. So the Bucks give up two guys who aren't going to play, one guy who they would just simply release if they weren't going to trade him, and an okay draft pick for one of the best spot-up shooters in the NBA. Like, I kind of thought...
NBA history.
NBA history. I kind of thought a little bit of an overrated player until I saw some of the Sixers games in the playoffs last year they had him, where he was like the whole offense at certain points. Like, he is that impactful of a shooter. Missed the playoffs for the first time ever this season with the Pelicans because they just were terrible in the bubble. Wasn't really JJ Redick's fault. And I think the reason why is, I mean, there's some like, I don't want to burn our only asset on a non-Bledsoe upgrade. Sure, I don't think it's the only, I don't think it's that good of an asset. So I think if you can get JJ Redick without giving up any players you actually like just for that pick, I just think it's too good not to do it. But I think the real reason is like, the first Bucks stint clearly didn't work out.
It did not.
But I think the whole thing is overblown. Like,
it
I looked at what
everything
JJ Redick said.
Everything has changed.
Well, everything has changed. Like, yeah, I like he's going to buy in a lot more this time around, I think. But like, I was looking at quotes from 2014. So, like, he visited Milwaukee with the Clippers the year after. And he was, like, pretty nice about it. Like, he was like, I wish I played better. We didn't mesh.
This brings me back a couple years ago. I did a deep dive on Twitter about whether the Bucks were going to trade for DeAndre Jordan. Because I thought the pieces were there. This was a while ago. This is when I didn't really know a lot about things and how they worked. And what was good basketball, evidently. So one of the things was J.J. Redick on his podcast talking about how he actually, like, he had nice things to say about Milwaukee and, like, how he would play for them in sort of that respect. So yeah, that exists.
The year after he was asked, was it dysfunctional there? And he was like, no, I wouldn't say dysfunctional. We just didn't all mesh, and we wish it would have went better. Like, that's pretty kind for how badly it went. Like, pretty kind. Like, he could have said worse. And the reason I was thinking of Monta Ellis, and I tweeted today, retweet if you are a Bucks fan who convinced yourself to believe Monta Ellis was actually quite good, is, like, I would probably unceremoniously leave as soon as possible, too, if I was, like, subjected to half a year of Monta Ellis, like J.J. Redick was. I totally get where he was coming from. I do not hold any ill will against him for that. I think for that deal, like, sign me up today.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I don't think the Pelicans would do that.
No, I don't either.
Especially because they want to maybe be good this year again. Like, fake good, like they were this past season, but actually be maybe good this season.
And I think Stan likes J.J. Redick a lot.
Yeah. He was with him in Orlando.
Oh, yeah.
So, right? I'm not just...
He was.
Okay. So, I don't think he's going to be someone that's available unless it's, like, a really good price. And who knows? Maybe that's a good price. They get a draft pick out of it. They get whatever DJ Wilson is...
prospect.
Yeah, he's an intriguing prospect to the New Orleans Pelicans.
If the Pelicans need one thing, it's more like big guys who might not be able to play.
Yeah, so I don't see them giving up their best shooter in terms of their actual spacing around Zion.
Yeah, I mean, they do have a defense problem. Like, if you start Zion and Ingram all year, like, that's just atrocious. And Redick is not helping you there. But I still think, like...
His shooting it's invaluable to that offense.
Yeah, and, like, again, like, what is their motivation? Like, really, they want Nico Mannion or Jaden McDaniels that badly that they're going to take on two guys the Bucks don't really even want just to give up J.J. Redick and draft somebody at 24? Like, no, I don't see it at all. But... I just think that's what had me thinking about Monta Ellis, though.
Yeah, okay. I got real scared when I saw that tweet about how you're going to talk about Monta Ellis on the pod. And we were, like, discussing, what are we going to talk about? Like, targets. And I was like, oh, okay.
I'm going to have to deal. 3 years. He's rested.
Oh, my God. Who was it that became a Jehovah's Witness?
Collison?
Yeah, Darren Collison. That's what
fellow guy who really ended his career in Indiana. You know what? Here's a take. Bearing it at the 50-minute mark. Indiana is not a good place to play, man.
It doesn't seem like it. It seems like everyone who's there doesn't want to be there.
Nobody's having a good time in Indiana. And this is like...
This is from a Milwaukee perspective.
Yes, exactly. Like, I feel for the small markets. I really do. Yes. I don't have that much patience for small market mentalities, which I think is this J.J. Redick stuff. Like, just build a bridge and get over it. The guy left. It happens. It's not that big of a deal. He wasn't even that ungracious about it. And even if he was, you hit 45% from deep, post whatever Instagram location title you want, man. Just come play well, and the rest will be fine. But, like, no one has a good time in Indiana. Everyone's forcing their way out of Indiana. Indiana doesn't pay anybody. Like, careers...
Paid Brogdon.
Careers keep... they paid Brogdon for now. Wait till they dump him somewhere in a year or two from now. It's weird, though. It's very... Like, that... And they seem like
PG
a team known for
out,
being cheap. PG is PG, but...
Yeah, I mean, but he started the trend. Oladipo seems like he wants out. Miles Turner apparently maybe wants out.
Yeah, it's just like something that goes on over there. It's not sitting well.
Doesn't seem like it.
You know, it's weird, too, because it seemed like they were pretty poised to be good for, like, the next half decade. Like, they have a lot of good pieces that are not old at all. Kind of feels like they might just blow it.
I think, they're definitely going to blow it. They're going to blow it worse than the Celtics are going to blow it.
Yeah, I mean, the Celtics at least were one game away from a conference finals. The Pacers have just gotten swept like 3 years in a row.
That's fair. I just wanted to throw some Celtics hate.
Yeah, I know. I know you did. I know you did. What do you think about Gordon Hayward?
In terms of what?
Like acquiring him. What do you think about acquiring Gordon Hayward?
Nah.
I'm not opposed to it. I just don't think those two teams would ever make a deal like that.
Oh, for Indiana?
No, the Bucks.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no.
I think Gordon Hayward is good. Like, he's hurt when he came back, so his numbers
apparently
from the postseason look terrible.
Apparently, the reporting is that he's going to opt out, which is wild.
So, Bobby Marks had a theory on this. Basically, it would be the same, and it's hilarious that it's two guys on the Celtics, but it would be the same thing as Horford in that, like, you know he has a deal somewhere if he opts out.
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to, like, blindly test the market. Somebody's got four for 100 for him.
I don't know what team would.
I don't either, actually, because there's not many with cap space.
And not many that would want Gordon Hayward.
That team's among Gordon Hayward is good. Gordon Hayward is good.
Not for four for 100.
It's not terrible.
It's not great.
No, it's not. But that's, I mean, when you're signing an unrestricted free agent, you're not usually going to get a great price.
What has Gordon Hayward shown you in the last 3 years? Last 2 years. I'll give him that 1 year.
This past season, I was saying the same stuff. And friend of the pod, Snotty Drippin, James Hollis, called me out and said, go look at his numbers right now this year. And I said, fine. I think they stink. And I went and looked closely at the numbers. He's having a pretty damn good year. Like, I think 18-5-5. The three-point shots were really falling for him again. Like, he'd really put it all together. And then early in the bubble, he hurts his ankle. Early, like, the first game of the bubble playoffs, hurts his ankle. And it really just ruins his whole postseason. And I think, like, between that and then obviously the terrible opening night, his first Celtic game.
That's what I think, said the last 2 years.
Yeah. I think it's left a bad taste in people's mouth. But, like, I think there's ample evidence to believe he'll get, like, by the time the next season starts, because this is, like, this was not a super serious, like, it was, like, a sprained ankle, a badly sprained ankle. He'll recover fine from that. I think he will be, again, like, an 18-5-5 on good efficiency player.
He's already 31, almost.
He's what?
He's almost 31 already.
Yeah, I mean, again, like, if he was prime Gordon Hayward at age 28, you're going to get him for a lot more than 4 for 100. It's the way it goes.
In that situation in Boston where you have so many like other creators around him, you're gonna see a little bit of inflation in numbers.
A little. You could sell me into them being better off with Gordon Hayward than they are with Kemba Walker. If you had to pick one, you could talk me into it.
I could see that. I don't know if I could. Yeah. You need a point of attack. Yeah. You need a point of attack handler.
Jason Tatum. I don't know. We're talking too much Celtics. I don't think it's feasible for the Bucks. I think he's available, but I don't think he's.
Oh, he's definitely
not
available
to the Bucks.
I don't think Celtics want that salary.
Well, you know he's not going to have a good year if he goes to Philly, so that's probably what we should root for.
Can Philly even sign him?
It'd have to be a sign and trade, or just a trade.
Okay.
Maybe the Celtics can get Horford back.
Sure.
God, would that be funny? How funny would that be?
That would be top tier comedy. You know what would be the most Philly thing ever? Is
what?
If they finally, like, not, I don't want to say finally, but if they say, hey, we have to make a decision, Simmons and Embiid, and they make the trade and they get Gordon Hayward in return.
No, I don't like that because I don't like the thought of either Simmons or Embiid in Boston.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But
that's a little scary.
That would just
be
hilarious for Philly.
That would be quite hilarious.
Like we would be sad because Boston would be good, but the thing is Boston's already going to be good.
Yeah, no, they're going to be good forever now, which totally stinks. But like as long as they have Tatum, they're going to be at least solid.
Yeah, but then Philly will be even more comically bad, which is great, great for the brand.
I am always here for that. I want to talk about one other guy. I threw this out to the Discord, and unless you have anybody else, which
go for
feel free
it.
To chime in. Derek White.
Ooh, okay. I've always been a Derek White fan.
I have too. I think he's good, and I think you're lucky in that the Spurs could not be at a more uncertain place right now. And I think it would make some sense for them if they want to continue to compete to kind of flip some of their older guys, and they need to do something about these young guards. They have too many, and they have like more like Keldon Johnson exists now. I don't know anything about him. DeJounte Murray, I think, is their best one. I don't
yes,
think he's moving
for sure, and he's already signed.
Yes. Lonnie Walker seems to be good.
Lonnie Walker seems to be good. Derek White was their first like one that sort of popped. And his coming out party was the series against the Nuggets last season.
Yes. And he looked really good in that series, despite having pretty pedestrian numbers. Didn't really take the leap you would hope for this year. I mean, per game averages of 20 points, 3.5 assists. But his minutes actually went down. He struggled to find a role. He started way less. So he kind of lost his spot. He's due for a payday after this next year. So you could totally see, like, if there's a time to sell on him for the Spurs, it's probably right now. Get an asset. Not as young, which is actually probably good for the Bucks' purposes. Like, he's 26 right now, despite having just played 3 NBA seasons. So, like, if you're the Spurs, right, and you're trying to leverage now and later, this is probably the guy you move on from. Like, you want the younger players for down the line. You may, like, you probably want LaMarcus Aldridge to stay relevant right now. DeRozan wants out. I know I can't talk to you about DeRozan, but Derek White might be in the sweet spot.
Did I miss that DeRozan wants out?
Yeah, it was like rumored. Like, he's not very happy there.
That's fair.
I'll always root for him.
Yeah, but always. Always root for him. No, for sure. Great human
being.
You're
just not on the Bucks. You don't want to root for him.
Okay. Don't put it like that.
Derek White actually did have a better three-point shooting season this year, although he was a little bit less accurate from two. Per 36, 16 points, 5 assists, just under 5 rebounds. I feel like it's definitely a gamble if this is like your premier acquisition, because he is unproven.
He'll defend.
He'd what?
He'll defend.
Yeah, he will defend. A good two-way player. I think it could be one of the better, like, big brain gambles the Bucks could make. And I do think Spurs might have some interest in Bledsoe.
I think they might too. If they decide they're moving on from DeRozan Aldridge. I think it's in their court though. DeRozan has a player option, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, he's opting in.
He's opting in. Okay. So
I mean, it's not been reported, but 27.7
million.
Yeah,
you've got to.
Yeah.
I would opt if I was DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah, I don't care how unhappy you are.
They can trade me.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. So the tricky thing is White is still not. So he's on the last year of his rookie deal. So he's only making $3.5 million. So, like, you need to take something back if you're Milwaukee. How do you feel? Like, Patty Mills is probably a little too optimistic.
That's way too much. I don't think you're getting Patty Mills.
Rudy Gay?
It depends on what San Antonio decides to do. If they decide this is it, then sure. Then I think you can get Rudy Gay. I think you can get Patty Mills. If they're going to be classic Spurs and we want to remain a little bit competitive, then I don't think either of those guys are going to be available.
I could see Rudy Gay being available, depending on what else they do.
Rudy Gay's been really good for the Spurs.
I thought he cooled down a lot.
But he hasn't been bad. He's been a solid contributor.
He only started 5 games this year after starting 51. His minutes were down. His 3-point shot fell off a cliff.
Like,
he's 5 rebounds.
Yeah, he's making the transition.
Yeah, I think he's becoming more washed. I don't know. I think, like, Bledsoe right now is better than Rudy Gay, I would say.
That's fair. I would say that
straight up. Yep. So, like, if you're the Spurs, you want to stay relevant. I just think Patty's more of a Spurs guy. Like, I don't see him leaving anytime soon.
No.
I mean, that was true about Tony Parker, too, but it wouldn't surprise me if Patty Mills retired there.
I forgot he played for Charlotte.
Freaking Charlotte, man. Team France over there in Charlotte. But, like, Bledsoe for Rudy Gay and Derek White works financially. And if you have to throw in the 24th pick, like, I think I would do that.
I think I would, too.
So Bledsoe and 24 for Derek White and Rudy Gay. And I'm not even that jazzed about Rudy Gay. Like,
if you're giving the 24th pick, if you're giving a draft pick, you have to get Patty Mills.
Really? So you're not taking Rudy Gay for that?
No, I think because then where's your room to upgrade at the point guard position? Who are you playing at point guard?
Derek White. Derek White's your point guard now. That's this trade. I mean, that's what you're doing here. That is the move you're making here.
I'd rather have him play off ball.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, it's kind of the same position you're in with Bogdan, though, right? It's like, instead of getting one cerebral guy to be the point guard, you're kind of relying on, like, let's just have two guys, three guys in Chris, Giannis, and Bogdan / Derek White who can all create and play off of each other.
That's fair.
That's the gamble you're making. That's the play. I won't say gamble. That's the play you're making there.
Yeah. Okay, maybe you've talked me into it.
I wouldn't hate it. I think it's like, it's certainly a risk. He's had some injury stuff, but if it works out, all of a sudden, like, you have the inside track to sign a very good 26-year-old player, which we've seen that not work out well for the Bucks when they're in that situation before. Hopefully they've learned some lessons from the past off seasons. But could you imagine if they got him and then signed and traded him somewhere?
Yes, I could imagine.
Nihilist Bucks would have material for 3 decades.
Oh, I could definitely imagine that, which is the problem.
Shout out to Nihilist. Do you have any other guys though to talk about?
I think we've reached our quota.
Yeah, somehow we're over an hour already. I put Oladipo on my list again, but I don't have anything new.
Yeah, everything's sort of the same from when we talked about him previously.
Yeah, so.
Nothing has really changed.
I just don't think he's going to get traded at this point.
I think he is.
If the value is that low, I don't think so.
I mean, he's gone anyway.
Yeah, I think deadline is more likely.
Fair. So they're getting him at some point.
When Brian Windhorst was like, what was it, like Kuzma, Danny Green in a first, and Windhorst was like, too much. Like, come on.
Yeah.
That's a terrible package.
I think that just shows how low the value is.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, why? It's just not worth it for me if I'm Indy. Like, I don't even want Kuzma and Danny Green on my team.
What if he just doesn't play?
He'll play. He's refuted it publicly, in fairness to Victor Oladipo.
I mean,
he's not. He'll play.
That's fair.
He played in the bubble when he absolutely could not have.
That's fair.
He's showing up. He's not one of those guys. I don't even mean it as like a pejorative, but he's going to play.
He's not an Andre Iguodala.
There you go. Yeah, that's a good one. Okay. Let's talk about cocktails.
Okay, let's do it.
We got to everything else, right?
I think so.
I would hope so.
We've been here over an hour.
Yeah. So share your take that you got ridiculed for recently.
Okay, so I was just talking and I was saying it was something about like it was for like a gift thing or something, and I got ridiculed for saying that like a spiced rum and coke, like a Captain Morgan with coke, is a good drink.
So that's a scorching take from whoever ridiculed you, because it's a staple.
Ridiculed is strong. I was even chastised.
I feel like personally. I'm iffy. I could go either way on a rum and coke. I had a really bad experience on Admiral Nelson and coke once.
Oh.
And I can't go back. Like, threw up in front of my crush at the time, bad. Yacked.
I shouldn't laugh.
Yacked. So I think everyone has that one drink that they can't drink anymore. Mm-hmm. For a lot of people, I think it's Fireball. For me, it's Admiral Nelson. I just cannot. I can't even look at it.
Okay, that's fair. So You said you can go either way on it.
Yeah, I'm fine with it, but I certainly, like, I wouldn't mock somebody for ordering or even chastise.
Here's the thing. It's good. It's easy. It's just like, it's a casual drink. I see, like, you know, you're just trying to like wind down a night sort of drink.
Would you call it your go-to?
I don't know if I would call it a go-to. It's okay, just so like...
What would you call your go-to?
That's the thing. I don't really have a go-to.
Okay. Oh, we gotta let the listeners choose your go-to.
Okay.
We gotta vote on this or something. Or at least give you options.
Okay. So let's preface. What's your go-to?
So I have... Mine are seasonal.
Okay.
I have a summer months go-to and a winter months go-to. I will mix it up, but like I'm not...
Yeah, that's
like,
fair.
I won't
it has to fit the season. It's not necessarily thematic, but it, you know, fits the vibe.
Yeah, well, like I'm saying, like, I'll drink my summer drink in the winter, but I just mostly follow the rules, as always with me and everything I do. Summer drink is a gin and tonic, classic.
Ooh, yep.
With lime. I don't know why people ask, always with lime. There should be no question. Winter drink, I think people will expect old fashioned, although I feel like I've shared already, I'm not an old fashioned guy. Just whiskey coke. And actually, technically, whiskey diet coke is what I go to.
Okay.
Those are my most ordered by far. Two mix. And then, like, Bloody Marys, like, if during the day. If the sun is out, Bloody Mary. But for nighttime drinks, definitely. G&T's, gin and tonics, and the whiskey diet coke. That's what I'm mainlining.
Okay. See, that's fair. So, in the summer months, I feel like I usually go more, like... I don't know how to describe it besides bright.
So like summer hummus?
Yeah, sort of like that. I'm weird. I have an insanely high alcohol tolerance. Like, it's not even funny.
So you're like, just pour Everclear into a glass for my first couple.
Honestly, I've taken like 7 shots of just straight vodka before and just like not felt much.
That's wild.
It's not good for my body whatsoever.
No, it's totally not. Totally not.
I think I've never fully been drunk because I have such a high tolerance, and I feel like I'll die before I get fully drunk.
I don't know how I feel about that statement. I'm feeling so many emotions.
How so?
I don't know. It's just like part of me is like, oh, that stinks. Like, it's kind of fun. Part of me is like, I don't know. Part of it kind of stinks. Do you get hangovers?
No.
Oh, see, they're totally worth it then, honestly.
No, I'd never get hangovers.
It's like obviously health-wise probably not ideal.
But, oh,
it's like,
not good at all.
worst case getting buzzed with no hangover, like there's worse things. It might change as you age though.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm still fairly young. So it's, I don't know. It has its give and take. So I can, I'll get buzzed. Get a little tipsy. But it takes me a bit to get there. And by that time, everyone else is just sloshed.
See, I feel like that's where I used to be at. And then, I drink less now because society is a buzzkill. but now I feel like sometimes I'll just be casually sipping, whether it's wine. I drink a lot of wine as well, a lot of reds. Cabernet Sauvignon is my play there. You got to have seasonal beverages, especially for the fellas listening, for the younger fellas listening. Class it up. Have seasonal beverages. Have a seasonal wine, a seasonal mixed drink.
Yeah, try
something.
Just
don't be basic. Don't try order something. The same thing every single trip.
Expand your horizons.
Yeah, you got to expand your horizons. Broaden the horizons. And you're not going to like most things at first. You got to dabble a little bit. That's how alcohol works, man. But anyway.
You're not going to like anything at first. You just got to try and you just got to keep trying.
You got to. You absolutely have to. So,
or not. That's also a fairly valid option. We should say that.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's good to make clear. You absolutely don't have to drink.
No.
If you don't want to.
Nope. You really don't.
No, my advice was to people who do drink, but don't miss. To be clear. To be clear.
I used to do research on alcohol activity in the brain. So, yep. Absolutely do not have to.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. The Eurostep supports all responsible, healthy alcohol decisions and some unhealthy ones, but not many. Rohan probably doesn't support that. But yeah. what was I saying?
You're saying about you're a wine person, red wines.
Sometimes I
haven't really acquired the taste for, sorry to interrupt, I haven't really acquired a taste for really dark reds yet.
You'll get there. It's a progression.
Yeah. I'll enjoy a lighter wine.
Step by step. When I started drinking, I was like all reds apple ales, and now I could not. It's way too sweet.
You gotta go for the Stella apple ciders.
See, I've heard those are tremendous.
Those
Maybe
are
I'll
good.
Have to try one. It is fall right now, after all.
It's the season. They're like sold out, though.
Yeah. Did you ever try a Bud Light apple?
I haven't.
I tried one. It's pretty good.
Is it? Okay, I might have to check it out. We are in a Millie town, though.
You can't find them. No, I know. But anyway, my point.
Yes.
Sometimes I'll be like 2 glasses of red wine in on like a casual night in the house, of course. Liquor just hits me like a truck out of nowhere. I'm just like kind of looking around. You ever catch yourself with like, maybe not, because Mr. Superhero alcohol tolerance over here. But something like, it's kind of catch yourself in a vibe, and you're like, how did I get here? That's happened to me, like, on my couch. I'm, like, watching Gilmore Girls. I've been watching Gilmore Girls recently. I'm like, when did I get drunk? When did this happen? I look down at my glass. It's, like, mostly empty. I'm like, this is my second glass. I'm not even done. And I'm drunk. In college, this would be, like, my appetizer to dinner. And I'd be like, not even feeling it. So, and the hangovers got worse for sure too. So just enjoy it while you can, but just be wary. I'll say be wary as you age.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind. I don't know.
I really gave a good glimpse into what I'm doing when there's no basketball on though.
Hey, it sounds relaxing. It sounds like a vibe.
It's a night well spent.
Yeah. You hate Lorelai and Rory?
Not big fans.
They're not great characters.
They're really not. Like, oh, I just, I don't want to say I feel for Emily and Richard.
But it's like, come on.
You know what? It doesn't fit as a theme. I want to do, we'll figure out how we can work in more Gilmore Girls talk. We're at an hour 11:46. We can't right now. But let us know if you're interested in more Gilmore Girls talk, because yeah, we have some takes, as always.
Give me some go-to drink suggestions, because I'll vary.
Yeah. You're asking me or the listeners, right?
You and the listeners.
Oh, you. I would say, I gotta think on it. I'm not on TikTok, but my girlfriend follows this like fancy cocktails page on TikTok. They are nuts. I wouldn't even know how to recommend it. I do want to try martinis.
I've never actually had one.
Like with the olive juice and everything, like suddenly I'm intrigued. So I might try a martini.
I'm just turned
off.
Okay, this is a take. I like black olives, don't like green olives.
I was there, but I changed my mind.
I don't think I'm ever going to get there. I had a bad experience.
Oh, so yeah, it's, you know what?
Taste versions.
I can't eat Baby Ruth candy bars.
Ooh.
I had one with bad peanuts. It ruined my whole week as a child.
Oof. Yeah, I had a bad green olive stuffed with blue cheese, and I can't have either now.
Oh, that's
I can't have
that's
either.
Bad. No.
Never.
No, I don't blame you at all.
So, yeah, it was...
Where are we?
I don't know. You sound like you're two glasses in.
No. That was good. Not until after the bun.
So, if listeners, you as well, give me some suggestions for a go-to. Just like a casual, let's say, what day is it today? Tuesday. As we're recording. Give me like a casual Wednesday night drink.
You know what? I do have one for you.
Okay, give it.
It's actually kind of healthy as far as these things go.
Okay.
It's going to sound bad, but bear with me. Vodka water with lime juice.
Ooh, okay.
It actually kind of works. I was like very skeptical of it. I was like, there doesn't sound like there's enough things that I enjoy in there. I'm not really a vodka guy either, but it actually, it's not bad. And again, like no, obviously there's no sugar or whatever. And I mean, it depends on your lime juice, but actually pretty good. Nice little summer option.
You know what's a good option? Do you know like a Buy Bubbles?
Like yeah.
BAI? That with some vodka, solid.
Oh, Rohan's degenning it up. I love it.
Yeah.
That is like one step away from fill up the cup with vodka and then use Mio. You're knocking on a dangerous door, my friend. In college, we would make what I called fire bottles, which is you get a Propel from the convenience store on campus. This is at Oshkosh, but you can do it anywhere. You drink a little bit out of it. You don't want to do too much. Trust me. And then you refill it with Fireball, put it in the freezer. Or not Fireball. Not that to be gross. Everclear. Refill it with Everclear, put it in the freezer for a bit because you need it to be cold to get it down. One fire bottle, you're probably going to be good for the whole night.
Oh, my goodness.
Please only drink in moderation. If you're 21 or older, please never drink and drive.
What on earth?
I feel like I had to be responsible to end it after giving that recipe.
Yeah. I don't think that recipe's legal.
Listen, you go to UW Oshkosh, you learn some things.
That's fair. You could say that about most colleges.
Yeah, especially in this state.
Yeah. This state is its own animal.
Yeah, it is.
That's
it
why this is a segment is. On our Bucks podcast.
Oh, I hope people like these segments.
I hope they do too, because this is a lot of fun for us.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, well, maybe if they don't, we'll just start a separate podcast.
Yeah, we could do it that way.
Yeah, on the Blue Wire Podcast Network,
as
of
always.
Of course, always on the Blue Wire.
Why would
podcast
we want to go anywhere else?
We wouldn't. We just wouldn't.
Yeah. So I guess if we're doing promos, I guess we can wrap it up here. For this
yeah,
episode
I think,
here
I think
in the
we're
Euro
safe
stuff.
To say.
Yeah, we're over almost an hour 16 in here. So, but we got some good talking. We got some league news. We got some, you know, trade targets, Bucks news for once. Yeah, that was fantastic. And then of course alcohol segments with Gilmore Girls and some illegal recipes from Ty here. So I think, yeah, good place to wrap it up and say thank you for listening to this episode of the Eurostep. And it is on the aforementioned Blue Wire Podcast Network, which all of you should check out. All of the great content across the entire network. Everything's fantastic out there. Everyone is, you know, trying their hardest, putting out great content. So make sure you check it out. Tell your friends and family about the show. Leave a rating and subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. I did not mess that up this time. And please stay safe out there. Please wear your mask. Please, you know, be safe. And we will talk to you next time.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.